Members, we'll call the meeting of the Agriculture, Rural Economies, Veterans Affairs, Finance Committee to order. Welcome to guests. I know it's Farmers Union Day on the Hill, and township officers from certain areas of the state and others. So welcome to the committee. We do have some rules in here to remind the audience and members of turn your cell phones off. If they go off, it's a dollar to our coffee pot, and if you answer them, it's $5 to the coffee pot. And by the way, there is a coffee pot. This is the Ag Committee, and the coffee pot's always on. So if you need a, if you haven't gotten enough this morning yet, you can help yourself, anyone in the room. With that, Representative Anderson Paul moves approval of the minutes from yesterday. What's the date? 23rd of February. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are adopted. Members, what we're doing today, as you know, is a continuation of yesterday. We started with Veterans Affairs and their budgets. Today we're going to go through the rest of our budgets. I want to give you an idea of what I'm hearing in full disclosure. They're anxious for us to have this hearing today. By they, I mean leadership, finance chair, and others. I think there's some sense that they'd like to move some bills early as possible. Obviously, the quicker we make budget fixes, the quicker we get into next year's budget fixes. So I may be meeting with all or some of you in the next few days as we discover what amount of money we are given as a target unofficially. And certainly it's my intent, and I hope folks in the room's intent, I will commiserate a little bit that we want to make sure, at least I do, that we don't get a uniform cut across the board in our division. Since we have Veterans Affairs and Agriculture, what happens is Veterans Affairs, I don't know, Mr. Reinholtz, two-thirds of our general fund is Veterans Affairs or so, or three-fourths. It's a larger amount than Agriculture. And let's just say they say, well, why don't you cut 6% out of your division? Well, if we decide then not to cut Veterans Affairs like the governor did, and I think there's a sense in here not to do that, then that means Agriculture gets cut not 6%, but 12 or 18% or whatever that proportion is. And I don't think that's a fair and rational way to go about it. So that's what I'm telling my leadership. I hope you're telling your leadership and others that you see on this, because that would be a very difficult chore if that's the type of assignment we had, and make things a little more unpalatable. So that's where we're at. Like I say, I'll be meeting with finance folks and leadership this week on what we're hearing from the departments, and then I think shortly they're going to try and assign us some goals or targets, and then we'll meet with everyone and figure out where we can put something together to meet those goals. So with that, Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I understand there's no targets yet then that's been established?
There are no targets that I'm aware of in the House. Now, the Senate, I'm hearing other things.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Chairman, we've gone down this road before. When we deal with the Senate, as you know, some of our veterans' budget, of course, is in another committee, in the Health Committee. And Mr. Chairman, have you heard anything about that? And if not, how are we going to pursue that again? I don't want us to sit till the last day, and when we're fighting for funding here and the negotiations, and we get in a squabble between the Health Committee and the Veterans and Ags Committees. And so, Mr. Chairman, if I would encourage you to talk to the Senate too, and all of us talk to the Senate, your Senate colleagues, and try to find out what we can do about that situation.
And we'll certainly do that. Obviously, I only go on what happened last year, which was we thought we had an agreement with the Senate to make sure that all the budgets were in Ag and Veterans Affairs for the entire Department of Veterans Affairs. I see this year they're still holding hearings actually in both divisions, and I think they have kind of an internal discussion going on there between their committees. But the Health, Linda Berglund's committee is hearing veterans' homes testimony, and Vickerman is hearing that and other testimony from the department. So we're certainly trying to get it squared away. Obviously, we got to match up somehow, some way, and it doesn't work the way it is right now. So.
All right. Thank you.
It's a pesky. The Senate's really pesky, you know, so I'm not sure if we can. We'll figure them out, though. Welcome to the committee. You can introduce yourselves and proceed any way you see fit.
Mr. Chair, I'm Quinn Cheney. I'm the Policy Director at the Department of Agriculture.
Mr. Chairman, Steve Ernest, Financial Management Director at the Department of Agriculture.
By the way, just to get off on a light note again, when's your birthday tomorrow? She's got a big birthday tomorrow. I'm going to tell on her. She's going to be 40 years old. So afterwards, yeah, there you go. She was afraid I might make her cry today in committee, so I want to start off with something lighter so that... anyway, you're on. You're in the spotlight.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think you've all read our mission before, but I will restate it once again, because that was part of our budget process, was to look at our mission. The mission is to enhance our quality of life by ensuring the integrity of our food supply, the health of our environment, and the strength of our agricultural economy.
Mr. Chairman, this slide just represents what our current biennial budget is. It's kind of showing the big pieces. Obviously, the general fund is the biggest. That's $71.7 million. That's 41% of our budget.
Make sure you speak into that mic.
And Mr. Chairman, then the second largest is our agricultural fund, our dedicated fees and other revenues. And, sorry, maybe just to this point, we've cut 9.8% of the general fund through from the base through the budget that was passed last year, the unallotments and the vetoes. And this supplemental budget would cut another $2.7 million, another 3.4%, which would mean the general fund would be 13.2% below what the base would have been.
Tell me about the other on the right side there. And are you going to provide that handout to us at some point, electronically at least? I don't think we have it here today. So,
yes.
It will be on the website, on the Minnesota Department of Agriculture Government Affairs website, and
okay.
I will provide
so everyone can have access to it.
Yep.
What's that other category? You've got general fund, agricultural fund, federal monies, and then other.
Yeah, the other is some special revenue funds, which are fees we get for a few sort of non-specifically agricultural things like conferences we put on or those kind of trade shows and those things. Some loan management fees for the RFA are in the special revenue fund. We have then the remediation fund, some money that fund is managed by the Pollution Control Agency, but we have a portion of that appropriated to us for ag-related cleanups. And then we have the constitutional new funds, the Clean Water Fund and the Natural Resource Heritage, I believe, is the name of the other one that we got a couple million for some tree work with the Emerald Ash Borer.
And all we have here is we have a spreadsheet. Are those funds showing up anywhere on this spreadsheet?
No, Mr. Chairman, that spreadsheet focuses on the general fund and the cuts that are being recommended to the existing appropriation.
One of the things we're going to need very soon is the spreadsheets and information on that fund as well as the ag funds, which I know are part and coming in your budget fix, too. I'm a little surprised we don't have spreadsheets on those today, but we need that information, too, very rapidly. As you heard, we're looking to put numbers together, and maybe Mr. Reinholz, do you have any of that information on these other funds other than the general fund?
Mr. Chairman, yes, I do. I mean, the spreadsheets from last year, which show the total budget and also the system does. I'll work with Mr. Ernst and put together information that shows the changes that they propose into that.
I mean, members, I think you understand we're digging in couch cushions here today. You know, we're looking for loose change. And so if we can't see everything out there, it becomes very difficult to start guessing what's going on with different funds, what we can what we can work with, what we can't, what's available, what isn't, where the money's come from, where they might come from, et cetera. So, anyway, thank you for that. We'll look forward to that information. Oh, Representative Faust, I'm sorry.
Thank you. My question is last year we had the 9.8% cut. When they decided to cut the different departments, was it just the general fund that was all cut kind of across the board, or is it total fund dollars? Because a lot of our dollars are coming in from fees and things like that that farmers are paid. And my question is, are the services that those dollars are providing, were those also cut, or was it just the general fund part of our budget that was cut?
Ms. Cheney?
Mr. Chair, Representative Faust, just to clarify on your question, are you referring to that 9% reduction? Because that 9% reduction was a general fund reduction.
Okay, that's
that answer it. Okay.
So, Mr. Chair, just to go into the specifics of the reductions that were proposed by the governor, the first of the reductions. Let me step back. You do have a legislative fact sheet that also describes a lot of this. So the first reduction is in the Dairy and Food Division to postpone the transition of the meat and food inspectors from a paper-based to an electronic inspection and compliance system. The system that we have right now, the compliance inspection system, began in 2007, and that transition has been completed for Pesticide and Fertilizer Division, and it's nearly complete for the dairy inspectors, but we haven't yet started to move the meat and food inspectors over to that electronic system. So this proposal would just delay that transition.
Have we found that you said we've done what, meat already?
Mr. Chair, we've done the Pesticide and Fertilizer Division and the Dairy Inspector.
Are you finding savings from implementing that in the Pesticide and Fertilizer Division? Are we booking savings when we go to these electronics, input hours, other things from paper to computer, et cetera?
Mr. Chairman, I can't give you specific numbers that we have tracked attributable to that. But by not having to fill out paperwork at the plants or sites and bring it back and enter it manually into the computer, they just enter it on their computers at the site and print out the reports at the site, and then it's downloaded to the main licensing database when we get back. It does save time. I think that some costs have gone up and some have gone down. I could ask if we have better estimate of time.
And what I'm getting at is if you delay implementation then for dairy and food inspection, then you're also delaying the cost-saving side of it. So that number isn't exactly right, particularly on the tails into the future. So for the next 2 years, what are we going to spend on FTEs because we didn't implement the electronic system? I think we need a little detail on that on this piece. If you could provide that, would be helpful. Because I don't think it's just an in and out. I hope we're doing some of these things to save time and money. And if that's not the case, then we have to review the whole thing. So,
Mr. Chair, one of the benefits of the compliance inspection system also is that it leads to more consistency among the different inspectors. So that is one of those things that wouldn't necessarily be quantified in a dollar amount. We would, in making this reduction, we would be eliminating one contract programmer as well. The next item is in the laboratory, we would be reassigning one lab technician currently associated with food inspection lab analysis from general fund to dedicated funding sources. And the food inspection activities are paid for both by fees and by general fund, so this wouldn't necessarily be a large.
Just again to get squared away, and I know a lot of people have questions on the fee versus general fund stuff. You have an additional $75,000 in that fund now, in excess or more, so you can make that transfer. I mean, if you're transferring, I assume you have excess funds then in the ag account. In this division,
Mr. Chair, I think that this is fine to transfer. It won't impact the fund too much.
So yes, you have excess funds of at least $75,000 right now in that account from fee collections.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
The next item is in the Plant Protection Division. Last year we talked a lot about the plant pest survey. We propose under this recommendation to eliminate the plant pest survey for a savings of $17,000 in 2010 and $87,000 in 2011. And Mr. Chair, as you may recall, the governor's budget last year was to eliminate this plant pest survey for a savings of $200,000 per year. This recommendation stemmed from the recognition that the survey duplicates activities available in the public private sector. The legislature instead decided to reduce the budget by 50% and to reduce the scope of the survey, focusing the remaining efforts in the northern part of the state. Also, during the unallotments, the governor unallotted $13,000 from this program, and that shortened the survey season by 1 week.
So, a little more in depth, what is being done now with the plant pest survey? How many FTEs are we eliminating? Is that actually a job or two we're eliminating? And what do they do that we're not going to do?
Mr. Chair, those would be seasonal employees that we would be eliminating.
Okay.
But if I could, I could ask Mr. Friso, Gere Friso, who is our Plant Protection Please. Division Director, to provide you with a little more information.
And again, you know, to the committee, we're going to have to do things we don't like to do, but one of the things I really don't like to do is cut someone's job. You know, it doesn't do anyone good, whether you're a private sector or a government employee, to lose your job right now. And so that's why I'm asking some of these questions. Mr. Friso.
Mr. Chair, my name is Gere Friso. I'm the director of the Plant Protection Division. And with the reduction from last year, we maintained four seasonal staff members, and they were primarily focused in the wheat growing and some of the soybean growing areas. We felt that was where the most benefit was derived for disease forecasting for wheat, and then also for the soybean aphid. So it would be four seasonal positions that could change.
I do recall that now. So you hire college kids, or who do you hire?
We have several school teachers, and these are people that have been with us for a number of years, so they are well-trained and very knowledgeable people.
And we'll certainly have you had any input since you put the budget out from the wheat or the soybean people on their thoughts on this?
We have not. The soybean growers, I think, value the prediction of the soybean aphids, but there is additional monitoring that is being done to a certain extent, both with an extension and with private consultants. I would say the wheat growers is perhaps where there may be some concern.
Okay, and we'll follow up with them. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The next recommendation is also within the Plant Protection Division, and under this proposal we would reduce funding for the gypsy moth surveillance program. That would be a savings of $40,000 in 2010 and $130,000 in 2011. And so under this proposal, we would be scaling back the state general fund supported work. We will work to seek additional support from survey activities from federal sources. And this would result in a reduction of approximately three seasonal staff in 2010 and possibly 10 seasonal staff in 2011.
Okay, and again, we'll follow up. Maybe Mr. Friso, does he run this too?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
He maybe should have stayed there. I just want some more information. You know, gypsy moth is quite a deal here, and one of the things we're trying to do is maintain the integrity of our department too. We have this constant war with DNR on who's better at doing invasives and monitoring and who's got responsibility for what. And if all of a sudden we're cutting programming here in our gypsy moth program, what message are we sending? What isn't going to get done? Who's going to be concerned?
Mr. Chair, we will. We're fortunate this year that there is some additional federal funding that will be available. So for the immediate coming year, we will be able to maintain near full capacity for setting traps in the next year. We potentially losing 10 trappers, but we would hope to augment some of those trap setting by partnering with some other entities, whether it be county ag inspectors or some DNR foresters or some federal forest type folks.
How much federal fund are you getting in for the next year?
We typically receive in the neighborhood of about $400,000 a year. That comes in direct payment to the department, and then in addition, any treatments are typically paid for through the Slow the Spreads Foundation, but that's actually Forest Service funds.
Representative Welty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Friso, you know, I was kind of surprised to hear you talking about the University of Minnesota doing some of the same plant pest surveys as being done by the Department of Agriculture, and it was about 6-7 years ago that I interned with the Extension Service, and there was somebody, I believe, that was hired down in southeast Minnesota, a summer intern, who was out primarily, I think, at that point, surveying for the soybean cyst nematode at the time, and then also looking at other issues down there. So I was wondering, in the past, have you coordinated your efforts with the University of Minnesota Extension Service? I just kind of find it disappointing that if we hadn't been coordinating over all of these years, I'll just leave it at that. I just find it disappointing that we haven't been coordinating over all those years, and having the duplication there between work being done with interns through the University of Minnesota and then also the work being done with the plant pest survey through the Department of Agriculture. So can you comment on that? Appreciate it.
Mr. Friesel.
Mr. Representative, Mr. Chair, we have been coordinating, and in fact, the university has actually paid the department to assist them with some surveys. I think the difference has been is our survey has always been very consistent, and so we've always identified crops and things from year to year that remain the same, whereas the university tended to focus on specific research areas of interest, and so I think we have tried to work together. Soybean rust is another one where we try to coordinate very closely.
Representative Welty.
Just a follow-up to that. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to Mr. Friso, when I looked at this and we were looking at eliminating the plant pest survey division, I just really didn't think that that was wise, given the issues that we faced in agriculture with the soybean commodity groups, and then also with corn over the years. And I really think that we should make sure that the surveys are being done. But if there is a way that you could come forward to this committee and show that maybe there's some partnering that can be done, and clearly lay it out for us as to this work can still be done through the University of Minnesota efforts and the Department of Agriculture efforts, even though there's going to be a reduction, I think that would be really good for us here around the table to see. Because I don't think many of us here want to see a program totally eliminated that prevents the spread of some of the pests that have really wreaked havoc on the agriculture industry, not only here in the United States, but across the globe.
Could you prepare a memo maybe in the next couple days outlining how we're going to cover these activities and who you see partnering with, and if they've agreed to partner with you, and et cetera? That'd be helpful. We'll get it out to the committee members.
Yep.
All right. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You mentioned the federal funds, like with the Gypsy Moth program and such. Are any of these matching funds where we're going to lose some federal dollars if we cut the state portion of this funding?
Good question.
Representative, Mr. Chair, there is a mixture of federal funds. Typically, when we receive federal funds, there is a match requirement. From Forest Service, there's a match requirement. And then within the USDA APHIS, there's a mixture. Some require a match and some do not require a match. Right now, we still have sufficient funds in the program that we do not anticipate any reduction whatsoever in federal funding.
Okay. All right. Proceed.
Mr. Chair, the next item is within the Ag Development and Financial Assistance Division, and in that division we would eliminate program administration funding under the Ag BMP program. That's a savings of $121,000 in 2010 and $8,000 in 2011. This is a currently unfilled position, and it would just result in less staff to operate the and evaluate the program.
How long has that position been empty?
Mr. Chairman?
Just recently.
That position hasn't been filled yet. What we have is a complicated system of tracking all the loans out there in all the areas, and the money has been revolving at the local level for 10 years, and it's starting to revolve back to us. And we want to have more ability to target it to the areas of greatest need rather than leave it sitting in one area for 10 years. So with the computer system and all the money that we're getting, more money from the Clean Water Fund also for this, we just need a backup person. We can't just have only one person who knows what's going on.
So, and you're going to leave that, let's see here.
You
plan on filling it then? Let's see, I'm looking at the tails out. You're going to fill it in 2010 or fiscal year 2011. You'll fill that? Is that your plan?
To have a dedicated position for that. We will start training in some backup staff, but it'll be cross-training as opposed to giving it the attention it will need as this keeps growing.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, in the Commissioner's office, the Governor proposed eliminating one FTE for a savings of $5,000 in 2010 and $27,000 in 2011.
And who is this FTE that only makes $5,000 and $27,000?
I think we would be eliminating support staff and trying to provide some funding from other...
What kind of support staff? Give us a little indication what that money maybe goes to.
I'm not sure that we've actually made that decision yet, Mr. Chair. We're evaluating what our options are in the Commissioner's office, and we have support staff, we have communication staff, and this was one of the things that we decided is perhaps we could get by with less support staff.
So are they assigned to other parts of the... I mean, that's not a full-time employee.
No.
It's a piece of an employee that does other duties across the department?
Probably, Mr. Chair, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, the next recommendation is not specific to our agency yet. This is an additional 3% of operating budgets across state agencies. The plan for this is that there would be some strategic sort of top-level examinations of how this could be achieved through some different, for example, IT projects maybe at the state level, at the enterprise level. And they want to look at that first, but the next thing would be to assign this out to the agencies like the Department of Agriculture to find another 3% cut, perhaps similar to the approach we've taken in the first 3% cut.
So, Mr. Chair, just to supplement what he said, when the governor worked with the Department of Agriculture to develop those original recommendations, and then when he announced the budget, he also announced that we will be receiving additional direction on how to achieve this other 3%, but we haven't received specific guidance from MMB on what we're supposed to be looking for that.
When did you get that instructions to do the additional 3%?
When the budget was released, Mr. Chair.
So what we're looking at now is how much of a reduction before that 3%? Was that, are you talking a 3% here plus a 3, roughly?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
So you have no idea where you're going to find $625,000. How soon might you have that idea to give to us? Because I think there is some urgency. If you don't have an idea, I think Magnus, Hamilton, Brown, Chemansky, and others may have ideas, but we're really curious as to what your input might be on that.
We're working on that, Mr. Chair, and I'll get it for you as soon as...
Any idea? I'm serious. We're being pressed by finance people. They want to talk to me today after this hearing, and to tell them there's a $625,000 hole that no one knows how they're going to fill yet. I mean, is it a day? Is it a week? Is it a month?
I can try and get you something by the end of the day or tomorrow morning, Mr.
Okay.
Chair.
That'd be very helpful. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the next item in the budget is one-time transfers to the general fund totaling $411,000 in the first year and $635,000 in the second year. This is mostly from the agricultural fund. This is listed on one of the documents as an operating budget reduction. What was done was to calculate the equivalent of 3% of what we're spending out of these funds.
Can you show me where that? I'm looking at your fact sheet, but I'm not following those. I was following pretty good, and I've just lost it now. Where are those numbers you just quoted showing up for us? Your fact sheet shows, 250, and I don't see the numbers you just said.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. It's not on the fact sheet that we handed out. It would have been in the governor's, in the MMB budget information.
It's on the spreadsheet.
Is it on the spread? Not on there. So, what you're doing, talk about what you're doing here now. So you're taking ag funds, $411,000 in 210 and $635,000 in 211, taking them out of the fee fund and transferring it into the general fund.
Mr. Chairman, the recommendation is $405,000 from the ag fund and $6,000 from the special revenue fund in the first year, $629,000 from the ag fund and $6,000 from the special revenue fund in the second year. The governor's budget sheet, I think, may not be in your packet, but that provides some description. The small amount from the special revenue fund, is our biggest item is our agency indirects, so we didn't calculate 3% on that because that's just other funds. So the remaining $6,000 is mostly application fees for loan programs. That $6,000 each year from the special revenue fund would come from. It's calculated, like I said, as 3% of what we're spending on operations, but it's a one-time. They're one-time transfers each year, not extending into the tails. The ag fund is $405,000 the first year and $629,000 the second year. Again, calculated 3% of what we were planning to spend. To take a sort of similar approach of a 3% reduction. However, as you know, the ag fund is a collection of a variety of dedicated accounts. Each one is dedicated for its own purpose. Some of them are very true fee-for-service accounts, and by statute, we're not allowed to over-recover the cost of the service. Significantly, there's a little play there, so we don't have $0. We don't have authority to spend into the negative on those accounts. But other accounts are not specifically fee-for-service. For example, if you pay a licensing fee to use the Minnesota Grown logo, it goes into the Minnesota Grown account to promote Minnesota Grown products. But it's not like we exactly measure your benefit to your fee because the benefit is greater beyond you. Another example where it's not strictly fee for service would be the ACRA account, where there's a surcharge placed on sales to go into an account which acts something like an insurance account. If there's an ag chemical spill, there's hopefully several million dollars in there available to clean that up. So those balances, we by statute are supposed to keep large balances in that for those events to happen. What this would do is transfer some balances, and we haven't picked the accounts that it would come from yet, on a one-time basis. And there may be some cost savings in the areas where it's not a strict fee-for-service, where we actually can reduce spending also. But the main thing that we would definitely do is just move the money over. And I would just add one more thing, I guess. You know, you were talking about the lab inspection services for the food inspection activities. several of these funds, these accounts, are work in cooperation with the general fund, especially for food safety activities. We don't expect the entire chain that we oversee for dairy products to be paid for, the food safety on that chain of events that we regulate and oversee, to be paid for just by dairy farmers and their fees. So there's a mix of general fund to protect the general public and the fees, and they work together, and it's not necessarily a magic 50-50 match or anything like that.
And I do appreciate the creativity using fees to fund the general fund, and I'm, you know, not saying anyone's against that, but what I do want to say is I'd like a list as soon as possible of which one of those dedicated funds or ag funds are going to be tapped for moving over. And then I assume that means that none of this is going to help us in the future either with TAILS. It's a one-time. Is that what you're telling me? Or is it your intent to look at that into the future, too? If there's, obviously, there's this much excess in the funds right now, are there going to be that much excess in the funds next year and the year after?
Mr. Chairman, the plan is to get through these difficult times by sharing the burden. This recommendation only is for this biennium, not for the next biennium.
Any hunch on that? Again, I'm worried about this biennium. I'm more worried about next biennium. And to say we're doing one-time patching here again, you know, if that's a permanent fund balance that we're seeing in excess, I guess, conversely, I want to know why then it showed up in excess this year, and it's not going to in the future. It's kind of unclear, and if we can book it into the future, we're going to do that, and I'd like to do that to help us out. So if you can get more detail on that to me in the next couple of days, that'll be helpful too. Any questions to the fee fi fo fum, as my roommate says? All right. Kate?
And Mr. Chairman, the next recommendation is a cut in the appropriation for payments to ethanol producers. This also is a one-time cut in each year, and members may still have the one-page ethanol summary sheet in their packets that has bar graph. The appropriation for 2010 and 2011 for each year is $12.168. This recommendation would reduce those by $821,000 in 2010 and $855,000 in 2011. And then what would happen is in 2013, the last year we're estimating to make our final deficiency payments, that approximately $1.6, $1.7 million would be taken out of that final bar. So the hash mark portion would be less available for other AGRA activities. And this is assuming the rider for our ethanol appropriation this biennium said that it's the intention to return that to the $15.168 million for 2012 and 2013, but of course that has to be passed.
So if you add the ethanol, if you add everything up here now that we've got, what's the total percent cut in the department?
The total percent cut for the general fund is 3.4% of our general fund appropriations.
So 3.4% total cut. General fund. And how much are we cutting the, it's 3% cut on the special, on the ag account funds and others?
That's correct.
All right. You got anything else?
Mr. Chair, the governor also recommended reducing the pass-through grant program funding by 6% for savings of $128,000 in 2010 and $127,000 in 2011. And this is the breakdown on what that would mean for each of those grants. For sustainable agriculture demonstration grants, that would be a $6,000 reduction in 2010. For fairs, that would be a $28,000 reduction in 2011. For livestock breeders, it would be a $1,000 reduction in 2011. Northern Crops Institute would receive a $3,000 reduction in 2011. The Horticultural Society would receive a $1,000 reduction in 2011. Turf Research would receive an $8,000 reduction, four in each year. Native Plant Research would receive a $6,000 reduction, $3,000 per year. Mental Health Grants would receive a $6,000 reduction in 2011. The Milk Grants would receive a $28,000 reduction in 2010 and a $30,000 reduction in 2011 for a total of $58,000. The Farm to School Grants would receive a $4,000 reduction in 2010. Livestock Investment Grants would receive a $60,000 reduction in 2010. Dairy Development Teams would receive a $51,000 total reduction, that's 20 in 2010 and 31,000 in 2011. The Dairy Development Grants would receive a $8,000 reduction, three in the first year and five in the second, and MALC would receive a $15,000 reduction.
And this is, every one of those lines is 6% of their budget?
6% of what was unexpended, Mr. Chair. So based on the we're asked to look at our budget starting in December, and we took the cuts based on what was not spent in as of, was it November or December? As of this
beginning of
December in 2009.
Okay.
So those organizations that get their grant payment right away at the beginning of the fiscal year, those are the ones that, for example, that don't have any reductions in 2010 because those payments were already made. But for those that receive payments out over a period of time, or who hadn't yet requested their grant money, those would be the ones that have seen reductions.
Okay.
A final feature of the governor's recommendation was to address a four-point plan for the slowing the spread of the emerald ash borer. One component of this is to extend the legal authority to inspect and enforce firewood labeling statutes to the MDA and the Department of Natural Resources. Currently, the Department of Commerce has that legal authority to inspect and enforce, but because the Department of Agriculture and Natural Resources both have staff out in the field, we ask for the ability for those enforcement actions to take place as well. The governor also recommended creating an additional registration and certification under the Tree Care Registry. This would be a small fee to provide information to the tree care providers, and then a larger voluntary fee for a certification process for tree care providers to be certified with the Department of Agriculture. That would be a voluntary certification, and that process was requested by the Nursery Association. Also, part of this, two pieces that show up in the Department of Natural Resources budget was the $2 million for shade tree bonding, and I think this was increased a little bit in the final bonding bill. And an additional revolving loan account within the Environmental Trust Fund for emerald ash borer control activities on private lands.
Okay.
And then finally, Mr. Chair, we had two grant period extensions, one for the NextGen grant period. Those grants are supposed to be, the grant period for the work to be done should have been complete in 2010, so by the end of this fiscal year, but several of the grantees had some financial issues given the recession and asked for an extension, and the board decided to grant that, to extend that grant period by 1 year through the end of fiscal year 2011. The other one would be for the Ag Fertilizer Research and Education Council. The request is to extend the grant period for the grants to be made, so just again so that research period would be a longer period of time.
Okay. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So remind me again, the total cut to the Department of Agriculture that you're recommending, percent-wise.
Mr. Chair, that's a 3.4% reduction from the general fund and a 3% reduction from the Ag and Special Revenue Fund.
And then the 3.4% general fund reduction is now going to go to 6.4 with the 625 that you've yet to come up with. Is that right?
That would be likely, Mr. Chair, yes.
Okay. Representative Faust?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is the 3% from the Ag Fund, I think you called it. Is that money that is collected from fees from farmers? Is that where that money is coming from, or fees from the fertilizer industry and crop protection products and that kind of thing, so that those are monies being paid in basically for a service, and now we're cutting that, or is that coming around about from the general fund? I guess my concern is, I mean, I think everyone realizes we've got to make cuts, and I think everybody understands that. But what I don't want to see happen is where somebody in the ag industry, the farmers or businesses, are paying a fee for something, and that money is being siphoned off and put into the general fund instead. Because I don't think that that's right or fair or the moral thing to do. And so I guess that's my concern. And so if you could address just a little bit more detail as to where that 3% is coming from, I'd appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman. First. Yeah, the Agricultural Fund is a variety of dedicated accounts, and some of them are very specifically fee for service, and we wouldn't take a fee for a service and then not provide the service. We're not allowed to, for those activities, over recover for the cost of doing that service. Other accounts are more fees for programs in general. An example would be the Minnesota Grown Program, that someone pays a license fee for using the Minnesota Grown logo, and then our program more generally promotes that Minnesota Grown products in general. Or a surcharge is placed on pesticide sales for ag chemical response activities, and we by statute are supposed to set that fee so it has up to $5 million in that fund, in that account, to be available if a spill occurs, so that we can clean that up. As I said, we don't have a list of where we would take those cuts from yet, and we've been asked to provide that. But there may be some places we can reduce some spending. The actual spending reductions would not be as much as the cuts or the transfers from the Ag Fund to the General Fund.
So we'll get that list to you, Representative Faust. Yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying, correct, is that we will never reduce, or the services will never cost less than the fees collected for that service. Is that what you're saying?
Stern?
Yeah. Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative, we are, by statute, we cannot significantly over-recover. So the cost of the service cannot be significantly less than what we're charging for that service.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. If I can, thank you, Mr. Chair. My concern then gets back to, you know, if half of the cost of whatever it is we're talking about that is going to be cut, if half of that cost is covered by fees collected and the other half is coming out of the general fund, you know, we're really looking at a 6% cut in our general fund in that situation. Even though the expenses are only cut by 3%, we're really cutting down our contribution to the general fund by 6%, and if it's 70% or 80% or 90%, then it's even a much larger percentage. And so my concern is that agriculture is taking a larger percentage hit on this than anybody else is, and that's my concern, is that doesn't happen. And so when we're going after areas where we're paying fees, I not only would I like to see where those cuts are going to come, but I'd also would like to see what percentage of the expenses associated with that fees are coming from the fees and what percent is coming from the general fund, because that's the only way that I can really analyze how much, what percentage are we really being cut from the general fund. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Sir.
To clarify more, the 3.4% cut is from our general fund expenditures. Then the the transfer from the agricultural fund to the general fund is on top of that, because that's a different fund, and we have to take each fund separately. But in order to help out with the general fund's problem, we would do a couple one-time transfers from the agricultural fund. The distinction, I think, to make would be that when we cut from the general fund appropriations, the 3.4%, we're literally cutting spending. But when we transfer from the agricultural fund, which each one of those accounts has its own statutory appropriation, which basically says, since we're agriculture, if the weather is good or bad and activity goes up or down, we spend what we need to spend to focus on each specific activity. We're not saying we're going to reduce that spending by that percent. We're saying we're moving money over, but we're going to cover the activities we need to cover and still, for this one time, move some money over to help the general fund out.
Representative Faust.
Sorry to belabor the point, and I'll make this quick. So the special funds that you've got that you're talking about, how did the money get in there in the first place?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, it's a variety of fees, charges for fees and surcharges for different activities. Our agricultural fund statement we release with to coincide with the forecasts, so you should have one from November, or it's in the legislative reference library, and we'll have a new one, which won't be changing very much from November for the February forecast. And I probably should say also that our agency isn't the only agency that has dedicated accounts contributing money towards the general fund. For example, the DNR has a variety of accounts that they're looking at doing some similar activities with.
Representative Phelps.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Last time, I promise. But what I was fearing was the case is exactly what you described, is that money that has been paid in from fees by farmers and ag businesses are now being transferred into the general account, and that is what I did not want to see happen. That is what I do not think is ethically, morally, the right thing to do. They've paid these fees in to have services provided. Those services will be provided, you've assured that, but we still are taking money that was paid fees by agriculture industry and is now being plugged into the general fund, and I don't think that is an appropriate thing to do.
Mr. Reinholz.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Faust just got to the meat of the matter that I was going to just point out that, yes, the governor's budget does take fees that are paid by people, in this case, farmers in the natural resources area, snowmobile registrations, game and fish licenses, and does send that to the general fund. It seemed like it wasn't getting to that answer, and that's why
right.
I had looked. And I would add, if the department could get us, they did just mention, Mr. Ernst just mentioned the agricultural fund statement that comes out with the forecast. That would be next week, and if they could get that to us, that will outline, I would assume, which one of those accounts will be charged for those that transfer amount, because there is no just dollars loose in the ag fund statement. I believe all dollars are in specific accounts, and then the committee would see the department's plan on which fees would be directed to the general.
That's what we do need. I assume you can get us that soon. And is there anything else you need, Mr. Reinholz, other than identifying the 625, like we're all curious on, too?
Mr. Chairman, in that one, that 625 is part of the governor has a huge general fund reduction that's booked in his budget over in the Department of Management of Budget. And that is basically saying, give us this huge cut, and the executive branch will decide where those huge cuts will be. And that's what the department is saying, is a maybe it will be us. That's a discussion for legislative house leaders to decide if they want to take that cut that's not in the governor's portion in Representative Kahn's committee, actually, and direct it to each one of the finance divisions, so that rather than the executive branch deciding where those cuts would be, which is what they're asking for, each finance division would direct those cuts. I know there's been some discussion in the finance chairs on that. I haven't heard that there's been a resolution on where that would be. It may just end up in your target. Hmm. It may end up in the state government target.
Right. And certainly we're not, I don't think, inclined to just allow the departments to cut after we go home. So, you know, we want to see, and I think all our stakeholders in the room want to understand where those cuts will come from, because they have certain interests in certain divisions and other things. So we need to understand that, and hopefully we can in the next few days here with you. All right, anything else for agriculture? Representative Falk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Ernst, I apologize if I heard you incorrectly, but when you're talking about these special funds, they're provided through fee collections, but you said that there is kind of a variance over year to year about how much is required. Was that correct, that you couldn't accurately predict, which is why you do have some, I mean, could you just comment to that a little bit more in depth?
Mr. Ernst.
Yep. Mr. Chairman, Representative, each account has certain responsibilities that it needs to pay for, and some of them are a little less predictable than others. The poster child for that would be the ACRA account, Ag Chemical Response and Reimbursement account, remediation account, which kind of acts like an insurance account. So the statute says that we should set the fee so that there's up to $5 million sitting in the account to be available for that. If several large events occurred, that would go way down. In some of the other activities, there would be maybe some more weather-related activities that they would want to respond to also, that might be a little less predictable. And then also what I said was if we have more requests to be licensing like food preparation counters in supermarkets or something, obviously we'll collect more money and have more money in that account and need to spend more to have the staff to do those inspections. So I think that's kind of what I was talking about things fluctuating from year to year.
Representative Falk.
Thank you. I guess that kind of highlights the point I think Representative Falk was making as well, that I'm not sure if the Department of Agriculture is in the business of predicting the weather or predicting unforeseen events, and that's the purpose is why we keep additional funds in these accounts, is to go and ensure that if some outlier event does occur, we have the resources necessary. And so I'm just a bit nervous about taking those accounts which were dedicated for a particular purpose. I mean, if the department is willing to accurately stake their claim that we're not going to have these outlier events, that there will not be a need for these funds, I think that would be something that they should put forward, as that we can say that this will not happen. But if that's not the case, there's a reason why those funds are there, and that's what their purpose is, and that's where they should remain.
And the ACRA fund would be the poster child. What if we had a big incident and the fund is down? Where would we get that money? I mean, that's the questions that we're asking. Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And no one can predict the future, and that's probably why we're in this mess to begin with. And, you know, everybody, whether it's the governor, whether it's the House or the Senate, everybody's looking for money. The fact is we don't have any. And I understand what Representative Faust is saying about people paying into these fees. And so you think through that and you're thinking, well, if we have more money, maybe we could lower the fees or reduce them or whatever in a perfect world. Obviously, we're not in a perfect world right now. So I think what we're asking to the department is so that we better understand where these monies are coming from, and so that we can make that the decision then on whether or not that's something that we in the legislature can support as well. Otherwise, we're going to have to find some other options, some other opportunities. And so we're just looking for a little more information so we can clarify specifically how it's going to affect the different funds here in agriculture, and what are our options if we don't agree with that. So that's what we're looking for.
Exactly. All right, let's move on to Board of Animal Health and AURI as quickly as we can here. A couple smaller accounts, but very important.
Welcome.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Bill Hartman. I'm the Executive Director of the Board of Animal Health. And I think I can be brief. The recommendations in the governor's supplemental budget for the Board of Animal Health are pretty straightforward. It's a 3% cut in the or reduction in the operating budget for the Board of Animal Health starting in December. That amounts to $87,000 for the remainder of this fiscal year and $141,000 through 2013. The way we're going to manage those reductions, if that's what ends up being the reductions that we would get, would be by reducing staff by attrition, and that would be selected staff. We have some field veterinarians and egg specialists who are nearing retirement age, and we would look at not replacing people. Now, you ask, well, how can you do the same amount of work with less people? If you're fully functioning, we are continually looking at ways of doing our job more efficiently, and we feel that we could manage that cut in the staff. The other thing that we're looking at doing is eliminating our funding for avian pneumovirus. If you remember, in the last reductions the Board of Animal Health got, we went from $80,000 a year for avian pneumovirus down to $40,000. That money is used for doing surveillance for the disease and doing testing of turkey flocks. This is a real success story. Between the funding that we've received from the state government and the federal government, we've essentially eliminated that disease and its impact on the poultry industry, the turkey industry. And at one point, at its height, that disease was estimated to cost the poultry industry $15 million a year. So it's a real success story, but I think we're at a point where we could eliminate that funding. Finally, I want to just make the point that we're making really good progress, as I testified last time to you, with our TB program. And I assure you that the cuts that are proposed for us would not impact that program.
Okay. Any questions for Board of Animal Health? Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Doctor, if we eliminate that fund that addresses the avian influenza, because that is a success story, absolutely. Are there still safety nets in place in case there's another disease that would emerge that maybe affect cattle or swine or whatever the case may be? Will we be protected?
What do we do if after we go home at the end of May something happens?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Hamilton, the board is constantly faced with those issues, and if you remember, almost every year that I've been in front of you, there's been a new disease: BSE, chronic wasting disease, avian influenza, bovine tuberculosis. The board has a base budget that allows us to manage those situations because they are constant. Right now we have two diseases in horses that we're dealing with, contagious equine metritis and pyroplasmosis. These are diseases that we thought we didn't have in the United States, but we've detected them, and there is a national effort to eliminate those diseases, so we're involved in that as well. So I think there is adequate funding in our budget to deal with these issues that come up from time to time.
All right. Thank you. Is there anyone here that wants to speak on behalf of the administration on the cuts to AURI?
Mr. Chair, I'm Quinn Cheney with the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, and as the administration person here in the room, I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Cuts to AURI, what are they?
Governor's supplemental budget recommended a reduction of $1.824 million for the biennium. That's $382,000 in fiscal year 2010 and $1.442 million in fiscal year 2011.
And what percent is that cut?
That's a 50% reduction for the budget enacted last year.
And do you have any information on what those cuts would mean? Have you discussed that with their staff or anyone else?
Mr. Chair, I can tell you that the 6% reduction, 3 and 6% reductions were starting points that the governor's office considered For most state agencies, policy decisions were made to make larger or smaller cuts on the governor's based on the governor's priorities, and several of the small agencies took larger cuts. Funding, for example, for the Film Board, the Arts Board, Humanities Commission, Public Television, Public Radio. The governor cut funding for non-state agencies more deeply than state agencies, and within the state's accounting system, AURI is not a state agency. Their funding is treated like a grant to an external organization, kind of like the University of Minnesota.
Do they have state employees?
I don't know the answer to that, Mr. Chair.
All right. Do you have any other detail at all about the AURI cuts? Or is that kind of the extent to your knowledge? And members, the reason I'm asking Ms. Cheney this is because no one else is here to ask, and she's been begrudgingly assigned to talk about it briefly to us. And we're going to bring up the executive director here in a minute. So I just want to make the point that the administration wasn't really excited to send anyone over to give us any detail on this, and we tried. Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Ms. Cheney. You referred to this being similar to grants to the University of Minnesota. Any other grants, to your knowledge, that had this big of a reduction?
Ms. Cheney?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hamilton, it's my understanding that the Film Board, the Arts Board, the Humanities Commission were eliminated altogether. Grants for public television, public radio, and some of the regional cable channels were also eliminated.
Mr. Chair, follow
Representative Hamilton.
And were those... Well, what was the reduction for AURI at the last legislative session?
Last year, or last budget session, where we made reductions.
Budget set.
Mr. Chair, the governor's recommendation, going into 2009, the base funding for AURI was $6.2 million, and the governor recommended a $3.1 million level that would have been a 50% reduction last year.
Do you know what the actual reduction was?
The enacted amount was $5.766 million. I don't know. I didn't write down the percent. Sorry.
6%, I think it was. Following our budget, that was our target last
year. In 2007, Mr. Chair, the base for AURI was $3.2 million. And the enacted version, and the funding was doubled for that in 2007 to $6.2
million. Thank you.
And it was doubled to get it back to where we were historically. I've been on this committee for a long time, so it was cut 50% a number of years ago prior to a lot of you on this committee, and then it was restored in 2007. Okay. Representative Faust.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want a clarification. When you said there was a 50% cut, was that a 50% cut of the remaining budget that hadn't been spent, or was that 50% cut for the 2 years combined?
Mr. Chair, Representative Faust, I guess I didn't write that in my note, but I'm fairly sure that the 50% from the remaining expenditure.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Ms. Spaeth, you want to come down? Thank you. Welcome to the committee. I'm going to ask you just a couple very direct questions that I just need short answers to, just to give some background to the folks. First of all, who is AURI, and when were they started? How long have they been around? Just
Mr.
real
Chairman,
brief background.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we were created in 1989 as a reaction to the farm crisis during that time to provide value-added agriculture development.
Well, introduce yourself, too, for the tape.
Pardon?
Name?
Oh, I'm sorry, Teresa Spaeth, Executive Director of AURI.
Okay, and your employees are state employees?
No, we are allowed to participate in the state benefit programs, but okay. We are not designated as state employees.
So they are part of the benefit program, but they're AURI employees.
Yes.
Okay. Where do you have offices?
Crookston, Marshall, and Waseca.
And what do you do in those offices? I mean, briefly, what are they? Just, you know,
Crookston is our state.
Just got a typewriter in each office, or what
Absolutely
do you do?
Absolutely not. Crookston holds the laboratories that do biomass development, anaerobic digestion, and the food product test kitchen. Marshall has the USDA-certified meats laboratory, as well as the analytical chemistry laboratory, and then Waseca has the biomass pelletization laboratory, as well as co-product utilization.
And are you're run by a board of directors?
Absolutely.
I'm throwing these softballs. I know all the answers. Who?
Nine-member board.
Who sits? What member organizations sit on the board of directors?
Minnesota Farmers Union, Minnesota Farm Bureau, Minnesota Corn Growers, Minnesota Soybean Growers, Minnesota Wheat Growers. We have two representatives of agribusiness, including AgriBank, and one member of the feed.
And the pork producers too, right?
That's the pork producers nomination. Okay. Yes.
And legislature.
Legislature.
The chairs of the finance committees that oversee the budgets.
Absolutely.
So that'd be me and Vickerman. Okay. What would a 50% cut mean to you?
Well, a little bit of history. As you mentioned, back in 2003, we were cut by 50%. At that time, it was cut back to $1.6 million. Those reductions resulted in the closing of two offices, as well as the halving of our staff in about a three-month period of time. Right now, the recommendation is 7 years later, $1.4 million a year for appropriations. And what that would mean would, first and foremost, we have increased significantly our match investments or cap cost share between commodity groups. Minnesota Farmers Union at the national and state level have invested significant amount of funding for cost share. Corn growers, the soybean growers, the wheat growers. With the increased funding or restoration of funding, we have expanded out to the livestock industry as well as dairy, have made quite a bit more investments in cost share opportunities and projects with AURI. Those fundings would be all eliminated and we wouldn't have anything left. From that point, we would start closing offices, at least one office if not two, and we would be looking again at a severe reduction in staff. And that would not only jeopardize our current contractual obligations. You know, keep in mind when we do these projects with organizations, we develop contracts and we make commitments for performance. We do have federal grants outstanding right now, one with the U.S. Department of Agriculture and one with the U.S. Department of Energy. We need staff to meet those obligations, as well as we have requests in for future grant funding on those, and those would be in jeopardy as well.
And members, I suspect we'll see more. I do have one letter that I put in your file that was sent by the corn growers. I know they had their meeting in town. That's probably why they produced the letter that I just received yesterday, so I've put that in there. But I've certainly heard from a lot of groups that 50% to cut to AURI makes no sense whatsoever. And certainly I'm inclined to find the money somewhere else and think on a fairness issue. The department, if they do the other 625, is being required to cut 6.4%. I don't know why this job-creating, value-added agriculture group in rural Minnesota would take any more or less of a cut than the Department of Agriculture. So, I'm not sure what the bug is in the governor's ear on this or who's whispering to him or what. And I've tried to figure that out, members. I've had the governor's office in my office last week. We had a nice discussion. And like I say, they didn't really want to send anyone over here to talk about it, and they said, well, we cut them 50% in 2003, so why don't we just do that again? So that was the explanation I got. But it would really put a dagger through the heart of this organization as a board member, and I invite anyone to come to our board meetings or to visit any of these offices and get a better understanding. I mean, anyone in the state of Minnesota can call this office with an idea. I got an idea to make soybean candles. Maybe that was an idea years ago. And they said, really, that's interesting. Let's bring it to our people. They look at it. They help them with business plans. They bring it into their labs for product development and testing. And if it's a good plan, they help them roll it out and tell them how they can do it. If it's a bad plan, just as importantly, they tell them, no, you could lose your farm on that idea. And so they've been a valuable, valuable group. And you hear the commodity groups that sit on there, too, for over 20 years now. Again, started at the farm crisis. And we heard a number of those issues, as you remember. RFA was started during the farm crisis. Farmer lender mediations was started because of that back in the 80s. And this was another one of that triad that was started by this group, Department of Agriculture and, or not Department, the Ag committees and the bodies at that time. So, I'm certainly to all I can members, I hope with your help to sustain their funding to the same levels as everyone else, again, in a fairness issue. So, questions for the executive director or anyone else on AURI? All right. Representative Shemansky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Spaeth, you mentioned the commodity groups that are contributing, you know, toward the funding of AURI. Can you give me a relationship of how much are they contributing versus how much the state of Minnesota is contributing to AURI?
Mr. Chairman and Representative, the Minnesota corn growers have contributed $200,000 a year for the past 2 years. They just increased that amount to $250,000. Depending on the outcomes of the committee, they would like to increase that even more. The Soybean Growers Association, last year it was $85,000. They have also made commitments to increase that funding this year should we have a positive outcome from this committee. Farmers Union at the national and state level, over $120,000. I've lost track exactly of how much that money is. I would have to go back and look at dairy. Those are very recent developments with dairy and livestock industries. I don't have the figures off the top of my head.
Okay. Representative Eakin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And actually, this question is more for the Ag Department, Ms. Cheney, possibly. I don't know if she can answer that, but it's again goes to the justification for the cuts. And I know she had mentioned that they're cutting the film board, the arts board, public broadcasting, and so on. And the justification for that was that they're not state agencies, they're not state employees. And I was wondering if that's the only justification here, or because it sounds like you're placing the state employees and state agencies over those of others. And it seems to me that there should be a different criteria going to the heart of, you know, what's the most valuable investments to be making here. And I don't know if you can elaborate a little more on the justification behind the severe or deeper cuts to these organizations, including AURI.
Ms. Cheney.
Mr. Chair, Representative Eakin, what I can tell you is that the governor's budget represents a series of very large and very difficult decisions. I think it's fair to say that the governor chose to focus resources on what he considers to be core public services, such as food safety, protection of the food safety supply. And so it was a decision within this division to focus the efforts on maintaining the services that protect food safety and our food supply. And as a result, he had to make decisions to reduce in other areas.
Okay, anything else? Representative Magnus.
Mr. Chairman, just in relation to Representative Shemansky's question, maybe we could get a 5-year history of the funding for AURI from here, and your other sources of funding, the commodity groups and the federal leverage funds that you've other funds you, because we haven't talked about too much.
Let
about
us the, know what that $3 million or
about
whatever
the federal
is,
yeah, funding,
what it leverages,
you know, just what how your program is going, because we. You know, members, we got tough decisions to make.
Certainly.
None of us in this room want to cut AURI. I mean, I've been involved with it from day one. None of us want to cut it. But, you know, we've got tough decisions to make this year and even tougher ones down the road. Mr. Chairman, you and I, you know, we've got some tough battles ahead of us. So we want to support you. Everyone in here wants to support your organization. But we've got to figure out how we can do this in the best way possible.
If you can provide just a little history on what your money leverages. And I can tell you, members, if you sit on the board, you see this. But they bring project proposals in, their staff and others. And then typically there's 2 or 3 or 4 sources of funding for every one of them. So the state funds that we give them become a piece of it that then leverages a federal fund piece that then leverages a commodity group fund piece. So they're all... Everyone's leveraging each other on this. It's not, rarely do we see something that's just a single standalone, here's a grant or for a project that comes from only one source. It's almost all this money is leveraged in some way, shape, or form. So I think Representative Magnus, yeah, it's a good question. What might we lose is what we're after if we're not funding 50% of this to leverage. What's that leveraging? We need to understand that better.
And Mr. Chairman, to that point again, and I know this varies, you know, in the commodity groups, they have issues they would like ARI to look at. research projects they'd like to look at, and I know from time to time that funding changes when you have a specific project they're interested in and they want you to work with it, and hopefully leverage some federal funding at least, if not that time, down the road farther with it, as that's part of the good work your group does. And so I recognize that changes, and I wanted to point that out to the committee here, that these changes because of specific projects, but still, I think that's why I've asked for a 5-year period to look at just what goes on, so we can sit down with the numbers and make a decision whether Representative Eakin's right. You know, maybe it's not wise at this time to put in money in the film board. I don't know that. But I don't know the history behind that. But
you want to bring that bill to the committee?
So no, but I want to know about our ag research program.
Yep.
So,
Mr. Chairman, Representative Magnus, we will work on that and get that back to you as soon as we can. I can tell you we just compiled the figures for 2009, and for every dollar that AUI invested in the project, the minimum match was $1.52. Match on other organizations, including cash and in-kind, was $3.12. An economic development impact, for example, if they chose to build a building or make investments in purchasing equipment, was every dollar we invested was 20 of our economic impact. I don't have those same figures going back several years. You have to have the staff to be able to track that kind of thing.
Yep.
And
that helps.
Yep. Paul, if you can pull together just some simple figures like that, it'll help understand. Representative Eakin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to make it clear that I guess my concern was it sounded like the assumption is, Ms. Cheney, that the state agencies and the state employees provide more core vital functions than some of these other entities do, including AURI. And I think that, you know, organizations like AURI provide an extremely valuable service. And we're just talking about what it leverages as well, and that should be looked at as well. There shouldn't be this assumption that state employees and state agencies are the only ones that are providing vital functions here. I think there are agents or groups outside of that that the state should continue to invest in, because we get a lot back in return for it.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Representative Eakin, I appreciate your comments, and the one thing I would say is I'm a Department of Agriculture employee, and I don't work for the governor's office, and so I can provide you the information that I have garnered from reading the budget and reading the governor's comments, but I wasn't part of the backroom discussions.
Well, we appreciate that, and she was forced on this spot, so I will tell you that in her defense. All right. Mr. Reinholz, do we need anything else from anyone in the room before we can get some information together for the committee to discuss budget cuts?
Mr. Chairman, I was just having some conversation with our House research staff and myself, and it would be useful. We did hear some things from the department that were initiatives that were first time I've heard details, and I haven't yet seen language introduced. And if we're moving on a schedule apparently that's very quick, I would suggest to the department at least they provide us with draft language on initiatives that are they wish to have included in any bill.
Is there draft language coming?
Yes, Mr. Chair, draft language is being developed. I believe that the Minnesota Management and Budget is pulling all of that language together, and my understanding was that the language was to be finalized first thing next week.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure about the timeline.
Well, check on that for us, too. I know there's groups in here and others that probably want to testify, and we'll certainly have that opportunity in the next few hearings that we have as we get these budgets moving. So, anything else before the committee? If not, we're adjourned.